Father Divine.
O Lord,
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So continuing Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then we'll read some of the Raha pastimes. This is verse 93, 6th chapter, Majjhalila. Ishtagoshti vichar kori nakari harasha. Chastra drishte kohi kichu nala iha dosha. Translation. Bhattacharya said, "We're just having a discussion among friends considering the points described in the scriptures. Do not become angry. I'm simply speaking on the strength of the Shastra. Please don't take any offense." 94. Mahabhagavato hoye Chaitanya Goshai. Rikare kare Vishnu Rabataranai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certainly a great uncommon devotee, but we cannot accept him as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu because according to Shastra, there is no incarnation in this age of Kali. 95. Ate tri yuga kori kohi Vishnu naam. Kali yuga avatara nahi shastra gaam. Ate tri yuga kori kohi Vishnu naam. Kali yuga avatara nahi shastra gaam.
Therefore, you are known as Tri Yuga. One appears only in three yugas.
Shrinivas Swami has also verified that Lord Vishnu appears in the age of Kali, but does not act as he does in other ages. Lord Vishnu incarnates for two purposes, that is, he comes to engage in pastimes with his devotees and to annihilate the demons. These purposes are visible in Satya, Treta, and Dvapara Yuga, but in Kali Yuga the Lord appears disguised. He does not directly kill demons and give protection to the faithful. Because the Lord is not directly perceived in Kali Yuga, but is directly known in three other yugas, his name is Tri Yuga. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vinda Janavami Prabhu Jau Kanakavada Prasankirtana Kapitara Kamala Kaksho Vishwambaro Vrijabar Yogadharma Palo Vandari Jagat Vyaparo Kurunavatiyam Another name for Lord Vishnu is Tri Yuga because there is no incarnation of Lord Vishnu in Kali Yuga. Indeed, this is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. This is a discussion between Gopinath Acharya and his brother-in-law. And it is also mentioned in this chapter that many things are given, of course, but it was funny to notice that Ninda Hasya, some of the things mentioned that Gopinath Acharya was engaging sometimes in praising Stuti, praising Sarvabhauma, sometimes laughing at him, Hasya, and other times Ninda. First it says Ninda, Ninda Stuti Hasya. That means they're very intimate. He was, blasting him. You're a rascal. Ninda means to offense. Satam Ninda Namna. The first of the ten offenses is to ninda, to blaspheme. Ninda se yadgividir haha. It also means to deny, and it has various grades of meaning, but therefore they are very intimately related. Because sometimes we speak with friends, we speak like that. Sometimes ladies get very upset. They see men speaking in very heavy terms, but the men just walk away, they forget about it, but the women are just, they're disturbed. They don't understand it, but they're, you ever notice that? Anyway, they're, he's disturbed. Keep doing beans, you'll get over it. So they were very thick and thin, so someone seeing this argument might think, wow, this is really heavy, but actually the Sarvabhauma wasn't taking it so seriously. But rather, he was arguing, and this is one of his arguments. And so Gopinath Acharya started to quotes more and more shlokas. In fact, Kaviraj Goswami also gives different shlokas. Vivada Samvada, Bhavo Bhavanti. One verse is mentioned. Vivada Samvada, Bhavo Bhavanti, that the third canto shloka, it's the sixth canto shloka of the Hansa Guya prayer, that learned persons, they engage in all these arguments. Sometimes they agree, sometimes they disagree, but ultimately they're speaking about the absolute truth. Just like the Buddhists or voidists or sometimes the impersonalists, they also put forward some of the arguments that in the Vaishnavas argue, we have very learned scholars, Jiva Goswami, Balaji Bhushan, they have offered some unlimited arguments. Vishwanath Chakravarti, all our great acharyas, Sanatan. But ultimately they're speaking of one vastu, one person, the absolute truth. Some say they deny it. Some say there's nothing just like the Buddhists who say there's nothing. So if there's nothing, then why are you arguing? Why are you speaking at all? That's the first argument. So the Vaishnavas, they desire to become learned, to be able to defeat this type of... There are many learned persons, so-called learned, but they don't understand Vaishnava philosophy. They cannot understand it according to Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvash Yoga Maya Samavata, because Krishna is covering them with this Yoga Maya, or Mahamaya. And to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even Sarvabhauma, who is such a great learned scholar, of course, he's enacting this pastime. Ultimately, Lord Chaitanya said, I came here to Orissa to deliver you, he tells Sarvabhauma. And Sarvabhauma got the darshan directly of the Lord. Of course, he was getting, but he was being covered. And little by little, it was revealed. So Gopinath Acharya here, he's speaking with Sarvabhauma, and Sarvabhauma is offering this particular, Prabhupada gives this basic verse from Bhagavad Gita, basic Bhagavatam verse, which everyone should be familiar with. And is given the translation. In fact, Gopinath is surprised later, in a little while, he says, well, I'm surprised that you, Sarvabhauma, you were speaking so much about Shastra, but you didn't quote the Bhagavatam, you didn't quote the Mahabharata. Whereas Sivana Vana Hemango, Rangas Chaitanya, and then he quoted also Krishna Vana Tisha Krishnam Sangopamrasta Parashadam. And also he gave where Gargacharya was speaking with Nanda Maharaj and predicting, saying that Sukra Raktas Tata Pita. Idanim Krishna Tangata. Sukra Raktas Tata Pita. He appears in the yellow form, besides the form, now he's appearing as blackish, but he has so many other colors. And he also spoke that Sarvabhauma was saying that he cannot be Leela Avatar. I don't read about this, Leela Avatar. But you forgot, he's Yuga Avatar. Yuga Dharma Palo, as Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a very nice verse in the beginning of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. We just quoted Janavandi Babu Go, Kanaka Avatar, Sankirtana. Kapitaro Kamala Vishwambaro Vijabaro Yugadharma Palo. He's Yugadharma, he's protecting the Yugadharma, therefore he's Yuga Avatar. So just to say that it appears that's true in three yugas, but here the key word is chana. He's covered, he's hidden. So even like he's in front of Sarvabhauma, but he cannot see. If Mahaprabhu doesn't want you to see, you won't see. But many people are seeing. Everyone was seeing, people were in ecstasy, they may not have known, oh, he's Yuga Avatar, but wherever Mahaprabhu is going, you read, and lakhs, koti lakh, people were going after him. They didn't know Shastra, they weren't like Sarvabhauma. When Lord Chaitanya was going to go to Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami told him, better you don't go with all these people. You can just well imagine how many people were there on the road. It said, lakhs and lakhs of people. And they given up eating, sleeping, maintaining themselves, just seeing Mahaprabhu on the road. So this is pure bhakti. They just felt in their heart. Tato patishtana. Sarvabhauma was in this mode of argument, just like all of his followers. According to Vedanta Sutra, which of course Sarvabhauma was reading and trying to explain, but it says right there that absolute truth is beyond argument. Shutaro vibhinna, na samuniya shimatam nabhinnam. In the Mahabharata verse it says that one cannot understand by argument. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo. By speaking so much pravachan, one can speak. Or by being very learned, Nayam Prabhachana Labhyo. Huh? Namedha Bahushutena, Bahunashutena. By your vast intelligence, or Bahushutena means you may have knowledge of all kinds of Shastra, but you won't be able to realize the absolute truth by this method. Licking the jar of the honey. this dry argument is not getting any pleasure. This is described in Chaitanya Charita in several places. Svatak pramana veda, pramana shiromani. That it's true, svatak pramana veda. The Vedas are the shiromani, the absolute crown jewel of all proofs. But lakshini kaile svatak pranata hani. By taking the indirect method, the lakshana method, then this is lost. This Vedic, you don't have any idea of what is. Vedaischa sarvara hameva vejo. Right? So many verses are in Bhagavad Gita describing. Even Krishna is accepting Vedas, but he is the source of Veda. So he's the source of Vedas, he's understood by Vedas. Mahaprabhu also, it says bhakti go bhakti karo. He is the body of bhakti. Bhakta karo, he's understood by bhakti, bhakti vedya. And only by bhakti can he be understood. Otherwise, Sarvabhauma, he's offering so many arguments. And to Gopinath in this part of the Leela. So in this second paragraph, Prabhupada's mentioning Sridhar Swami has verified that Krishna appears in the age of Kali but does not act as he does in other ages. That means Sridhar Swami also understood that Mahaprabhu would appear. I think there may be some, you can squat something on it. Something that Sridhar Maharaj said, Sridhar Swami? No. I don't think we know exact quote how he accepted, but here it says he accepts. Specific place where he said that about Mahaprabhu?
Not specific.
Okay, so since it's Raha appearance, we should read something, because usually we do. We read something, a few verses this morning, but this is not the book. Uh-oh, what happened to the third canto? He had it. Keshava was reading. Well, we can't do it then. I thought this was the book. You were reading the book or you had a printout? That book could be missing, but... Those are locked. Chapter... exciting pastime. In Lago Bhagavatamrita, which is given later in that chapter in Chaitanya Rita, it's mentioned that Leela Avataras and Varahas, just mentioned just after what we just read in Chaitanya Rita. We'll see next week. Okay, this is good. This is the middle of the pastime. Continuing. But here we are. The proud and falsely glorious Daitya. This is the, not the appearance, but this is the battle. Devadura, he learned from Yara the whereabouts of the personality of God and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean. So, I'm going to read the purports because it's Prabhupada. Materialistic warmongers are not even afraid to fight with their mightiest enemy, the personality of God. And Ramyaksha is fighting with this. Rah.
holiday. The demon was very encouraged to learn from Varuna that there was a fighter who could actually combat him. He was very enthusiastic to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to give him a fight, even though it was predicted by Varuna that by fighting with Vishnu, he would become prey for dogs, jackals, and vultures. Since demoniac persons are less intelligent, they dare fight with Vishnu, who is known as Ajita, or one who has never been conquered. He saw there the all-powerful personality of Godhead in his born incarnation, bearing the earth upward on the ends of his tusks, robbing him of his splendor with his reddish eyes. The demon laughed, "Oh, amphibious beast!" The demon addressed the Lord, "Best of demigods, dressed in the form of a boar, just hear me. This earth is entrusted to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions. You cannot take it from my presence and not be hurt by me. You rascal, you've been nourished by our enemies to kill us, and you have killed some demons by remaining invisible. Old fool, your power is only mystic. Today I shall enlighten my kinsmen by killing you." The demon continued, "When you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice and devotional service will also automatically cease to exist like trees without roots." This is always a theme. We've been reading that about Kamsa, and his advisors are saying the exact same thing. When we get rid of Vishnu, then we get rid of the devotees. It's very easy. I'm going to read the part of this purport. Purport. Demons are very much disturbed when devotees worship the Lord in the prescribed ways recommended in the scripture. In the Vedic scripture, the neophyte devotees are advised to engage in 9 kinds of devotional service. Nice beam sound there. In the Vedic scripture, devotees are advised to engage in 9 kinds of devotional service, such as to hear and chant the holy name of God, remember Him, chant on beads, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. To worship the Lord in the form of deity incarnation in the temple and to engage in various activities of Krishna consciousness to increase the number of godly persons for perfect peace in the world. Demons do not like such activity. They are always envious of God and His devotees. Their propaganda not to worship in the temple or church but simply to make material advancement for satisfaction of the senses is always current. The demon Hiranyaksha, upon seeing the Lord face to face, wanted to make a permanent solution by killing the personality of Godhead with his powerful mace. So back to the text. Although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon, he bore the pain. But seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water just as an elephant emerges with its female companion when assailed by an alligator. Purport. The Mayavadi philosopher cannot understand that the Lord has feelings. The Lord is satisfied if someone offers him a nice prayer. And similarly, if someone decries his existence or calls him ill names, God is dissatisfied. The Supreme Personality of God is decried by the Mayavadi philosophers who are almost demons. Prabhupada says, almost demons. They say that God has no head, no form, no existence, no leg, hand, or other bodily limbs. In other words, they say he is dead or lame. All these misconceptions of the Supreme Lord are a source of dissatisfaction to him. He is never pleased with such atheistic descriptions. In this case, although the Lord felt sorrow from the piercing words of the demon, he delivered the earth for the satisfaction of the devas, who are ever his devotees. The conclusion is that God is as sentient as we are. He is satisfied by our prayers and dissatisfied by our harsh words against him. In order to give protection to his devotee, he is always ready to tolerate insulting words from the atheist. Translation: the demon, who had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks, gave chase to the Lord while he was rising from the water, even as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, he said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." Purport. When the Lord was coming out of the water, taking the earth in his arms to deliver it, The demon derided him with insulting words, but the Lord did not care because he was very conscious of his duty. For a dutiful man, there is nothing to fear. Similarly, for those who are powerful have no fear of derision or unkind words from the enemy. The Lord had nothing to fear from anyone, yet he was merciful to his enemy by neglecting him. Although apparently he fled from the challenge, it was just to protect the earth from calamity that he tolerated obnoxious, deriding words. Translation, the Lord placed the earth within his sight on the surface of the water and transferred her to his own energy in the form of ability to float on the water. While the enemy stood looking on, Brahma, creator of the universe, extolled the Lord, and the other demigods rained flowers on him. Purport, those who are demons cannot understand how the Supreme Personality of God had floated the earth on water, but to devotees of the Lord, this is not a very wonderful act. Not only the earth, but many, many millions of planets are floating in the air, and this floating power is endowed upon them by the Lord. There's no other possible explanation. The materialist can explain that the planets are floating by the law of gravitation, but the law of gravitation works under the control and direction of the Supreme Lord. This is the version of Bhagavad Gita, Daya Mahamojasa, which confirms that behind material laws, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharachana, is the Lord's direction. The Lord's activities could be appreciated only by demigods headed by Brahma. Therefore, when they saw the uncommon prowess of the Lord in keeping the earth on the surface of the water, they showered flowers on him in appreciation of his transcendental activity. Translation. The demon, who had a wealth of ornaments, bangles, and beautiful golden armor on his body, chased the Lord from behind with a great mace. The Lord tolerated his piercing ill words, but in order to reply to him, he expressed his terrible anger. Sri Bhagavan Racha, Personality of God, had said, indeed, we are creatures of the jungle. We are searching after hunting dogs like you. One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulging, for you are bound up by the laws of death. Purport, demons and atheist persons can go on insulting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they forget that they are subject to the laws of birth and death. They think that simply by decrying the existence of the Supreme Lord or defying the stringent laws of nature, one can be freed from the clutches of birth and death. And Bhagavad Gita has said, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of God, one can go back home, back to Godhead. But demons and atheist persons do not try to understand the nature of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they remain in the entanglement of birth and death. Translation. Certainly, we have stolen the charge of the inhabitants of Rasatlan and have lost all shame. Although bitten by your powerful mace, I shall stay here in the water for some time because having created enmity with a powerful enemy, I now have no place to go. Purport, the demon should have known that God cannot be driven out of any place, for he is all-pervading. Demons think of their possessions as their property, but actually everything belongs to the Personality of God who can take away anything, anytime he likes. Purport, you are supposed to be the commander of many foot soldiers, and now you may take prompt steps to overthrow us. Give up all your foolish talk. Wipe out the cares of your kith and kin by slaying us. One may be proud, yet he does not deserve a seat in the assembly if he fails to fulfill his promised word. Purport, a demon may be a great soldier and commander of a large number of infantry, but in the presence of the Personality of God, he is powerless and destined to die. The Lord therefore challenged the demon not to go away, but to fulfill his promised word, kill him. Translation. Maitreya said, the demon, being thus challenged by the Personality of God, who became angry and agitated, he trembled in anger like a challenged cobra. Purport, a cobra is very fierce before an ordinary person, but before an enchanter who can play with him, he is a plaything. Similarly, a demon may be very powerful in his own domain, but before the Lord, he is insignificant. The demon Ravana was a fierce figure before the Devas, but when he was before Lord Ram, he trembled and prayed to his deity, Lord Shiva, to no avail. Hissing indignantly, all his senses shaken by wrath, the demon quickly sprang upon the Lord and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace. Translation. The Lord, however, by moving slightly aside, dodged the violent mace blow aimed at his breast by the enemy, just as an accomplished yogi would elude death. Purport. The example is given here in that a perfect yogi can overcome death blow, although it is offered by the law of nature. It is is useless for a demon to beat the transcendental body of the Lord with a powerful mace, for no one can surpass his prowess. Those who are advanced transcendentalists are free from the laws of nature, and even a death blow cannot act on them. Superficially, it may be seen that a yogi is attacked by death blow, but by the grace of the Lord, he can overcome many such attacks for the service of the Lord. As the Lord exists by his own independent prowess, by the grace of the Lord, the devotees also exist for his service. Text 16. Prashnanda Goddard now exhibited his anger and rushed to meet the demon, who bit his lip in rage, took up his mace again and again to repeatedly brandish it about. 17. Then with his mace, the Lord struck the enemy on the right of his brow, but since the demon was expert in fighting, O General Vidura, he protected himself by a maneuver of his own mace. In this way, the demon Haryaksha, and the Lord, the personality of God, had struck each other with their huge maces, each in rage seeking his own victory. Haryaksha is another name for Haryaksha. Translation. There was keen rivalry between the two combatants. Both had sustained injuries on their bodies from the blow of each other's pointed maces. Each grew more and more enraged at the smell of blood on his person. In their eagerness to win, they performed maneuvers of various kinds, and their contest looked like an encounter between two forceful bulls for the sake of a cow. Translation. O descendant of Kuru, Brahma, the most independent demigod of the universe, accompanied by his followers, came to see the terrible fight for the sake of the world between the demon and the personality of God who appeared in the form of the boar. 21. After arriving at the place of combat, Brahma, the leader of thousands of sages and transcendentalists, saw the demon who had attained such unprecedented power that no one could fight with him. Brahma then addressed Narayan, who was assuming the form of the boar for the first time. Brahma said, "My dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the devas, the brahmanas, cows, and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon worshipping your lotus feet. He has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing them. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for this infamous purpose." Purport. There are two classes of living entities. One is called Sura, or the devas, demigods. The other is asura, or demon. Demons are generally fond of worshipping devas, demigods, and there are evidences that by such worship they get extensive power for their sense gratification. This later proves to be the cause of trouble to the brahmanas, demigods, and other innocent living entities. Lord Brahma continued, "My dear Lord, there is no need to play with a serpentine demon who is always very skilled in conjuring tricks and is arrogant, self-sufficient, and most wicked." Purport. No one is happy when a serpent is killed. No one is unhappy when a serpent is killed. It is a practice among village boys to catch a serpent by the tail and play with it for some time, and then kill it. Similarly, the Lord could have killed the demon at once, but he played with him in the same way a child plays with a snake before killing it. It's not recommended for local children. These are transcendental children that play with snakes. Indian children, maybe they do that. Brahma requested, however, that since the demon was more wicked, undesirable than a serpent, there was no need to play with him. It was his wish that he be killed at once without delay. Brahma continued, "My dear Lord, you are infallible. Please kill the sinful demon before the demoniac hour arrives and he presents another formidable approach favorable to him. You can kill him by your internal potency without a doubt." Translation, "My Lord, the darkest evening which covers the world is fast approaching. Since you are the soul of all souls, kindly kill him and win victory for the demigods." Translation, "The auspicious period known as Abhijit, which is most opportune for victory, commenced at midday and is all but past. Therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. This demon, luckily for us, has come of his own accord to you, his death ordained by you. Therefore, exhibiting your ways, kill him in the duel and establish the worlds in peace." It's the last verse of this chapter. Yes.
What was the boon that
point is that he has all this power, but you want to give detail? What are you shaking your head for? What? Well, when the Kashi proved by the boom that he wouldn't be killed day or night, I'm not sure if it's applied to his... Huh? Well, it said here, like... he got some boom. See his power. Now the boon, since he has attained a boon, Brahma said that since he has attained a boon for me, he has become a demon. Well, apparently he wasn't a demon before. Should we read the purport? He was always a demon, so that, but the way it says it here, that's what it says. So many inauspicious omens, as we remember. So I could continue reading, since you're all absorbed in the killing of the demon Ramaksha. Maitreya said, after hearing the words of Brahma, the Creator, which were free from all sinful purposes and as sweet as nectar, the Lord heartily laughed and accepted his prayer with a glance laden with love. Purport. The word Nivyalika is very significant. The prayers of the demigods or devotees of the Lord are free from all sinful purposes, but the prayers of demons are always filled with sinful purposes. The demon Hiranyaksha became powerful by deriving a boon from Brahma, and after attaining that boon, he created disturbance because of his sinful intentions. The prayers of Brahma and other demigods are not to be compared to the prayers of demons. Their purpose is to please the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord smiled and accepted the prayer to kill the demon. Demons who are never interested in praising the personality of Godhead because they have no information of him go to the demigods, and in Bhagavad Gita, this is condemned. Persons who go to demigods and pray for advancement in sinful activity are considered bereft of all intelligence. Demons have lost all intelligence because they do not know what is actually their self-interest. Even if they have information of the personality of God, they decline to approach him. It is not possible for them to get their desired boons from the Supreme Lord because of their purposes are always sinful. It is said that the dacoits in Bengal used to worship Goddess Kali for fulfillment of their sinful desires to plunder others' property, but they never went to a Vishnu temple because they might have been unsuccessful in praying to Vishnu. Therefore, the prayers of the demigods or the devotees of the Supreme Personality of God are always tinged by sinful purpose. Translation. The Lord, who had appeared from the nostril of Brahma, sprang and aimed his mace at the chin of his enemy, the Hiranyaksha demon, who was stalking furiously before him. Struck by the demon's mace, however, the Lord's mace slipped from his hand and looked splendid as it fell down whirling. This was miraculous, for the mace was blazing wonderfully. Even though the demon had an excellent opportunity to strike his unarmed foe without obstruction, he respected the law of single combat, thereby kindling the fury of the Supreme Lord. Translation, as the Lord's mace fell to the ground and a cry of alarm arose from the witnessing crowd of gods and rishis, the personality of God had acknowledged the demon's love of righteousness and therefore invoked his Sudarsana discus. Translation, as the discus began to revolve in the Lord's hands and the Lord contended at close quarters with the chief of his Vaikuntha attendants, who had been born as Aranyaksha, a vile son of Diti, there issued from every direction strange expressions uttered by those who were witnessing from airplanes. Strange expressions. They had no knowledge of the Lord's reality, and they cried, "May victory attend you, pray, dispatch him, play no more with him." Text 7. When the demon saw the personality of God, who had eyes just like lotus petals standing in position before him, armed with his Sudarshan discus, his senses were overpowered by indignation. He began to hiss like a serpent. He bit his lip in great resentment. The demon, who had fearful tusks, stared at the personality of God as though to burn him. Springing in the air, he aimed his mace at the Lord, exclaiming at the same time, "You're slain! Hato sityahar
Ahanadaim. So, Ahanadaim. O Saint Igador, while his enemy looked on the Lord in his bull form, remember this is Keshavadrita, and he's Jai. Is he Jai or Vijay? He's Jai. Because he's born first. He's older. He's Jai. O Saint Igador, as the enemy looked on the Lord in his bull form, the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings, playfully knocked down the mace with his left foot, even as it came upon him with the force of a tempest. Translation, the Lord then said, take up your weapon, try again, eager as you are to conquer me. Challenging these words, the demon aimed his mace at the Lord and once more loudly roared. When the Lord saw the mace flying toward him, he stood firmly where he was and caught it with the same ease as Garuda, the king of birds, would seize a serpent. His valor thus frustrated, the great demon felt humiliated and was put out of countenance. He was reluctant to take back the mace when it was offered by the personality of Godhead. He now took a trident, which was as rapacious as a flaming fire, and hurled it against the Lord, the enjoyer of all sacrifice, even as one would use penance for a malevolent purpose against the holy Brahmana. I'll buy Mangalartik sweets for anyone who memorizes this chapter. Sanskrit. Purports are included. Hurled by the mighty demon with all his strength, the flying trident shone brightly in the sky. The personality of Godhead, however, tore it to pieces with his discus, Sudarshan, which had a sharp-edged rim, even as Indra cut off a wing of Garuda. Now, Prabhupada's giving the purport. Context of the reference given here regarding Garuda and Indra is this. Once upon a time, Garuda, the carrier of the Lord, snatched away a nectar pot from the hands of the demigods in heaven in order to liberate his mother, Vinata, from the clutches of his stepmother, Kadru, the mother of serpents. On learning of this, Indra, king of heaven, hurled his thunderbolt against Garuda. With a view to respect the infallibility of Indra's weapon, Garuda, though otherwise invincible, being the Lord's own mount, dropped one of his wings, which was shattered to pieces by the thunderbolt. The inhabitants of higher planets are so sensible that even in the process of fighting, they observe the preliminary rules and regulations of gentleness. I guess it's pretty gentle when you drop your wing like that. Indra didn't sound very gentle, anyway. In this case, Garuda wanted to show respect for Indra, since he knew that Indra's weapon must destroy something. He offered his wing. Translation. The demon was enraged when his trident was cut to pieces by the discus of the personality of Godhead. He therefore advanced toward the Lord and roaring aloud struck his hard fist, against the Lord's broad chest, which bore the mark of Shivatsa. Then he went out of sight. Purport. Shivatsa is a curl of white hair on the chest of the Lord, which is a special sign of his being the personality of Godhead. In Vaikuntha or Goloka, the inhabitants are exactly of the same form as the personality of Godhead, but by the Shivatsa mark on the chest of the Lord, he is distinguished from all others. Translation. Hit in this manner by the demon, Ovidura, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. That analogy is often given. You throw a garland at an elephant, I don't think it bothers him too much. Purport. As previously explained, the demon was originally a servitor of the Lord in Vaikuntha, but somehow or other he fell as a demon. His fight with the Supreme Lord was meant for his liberation. The Lord enjoyed the striking on his transcendental body just like a fully grown-up father fighting with his child. Sometimes a father takes pleasure in having a mock fight with a small child. Similarly, the Lord felt Hiranyaksha's striking on his body to be like flowers offered for worship. In other words, the Lord desired to fight in order to enjoy his transcendental bliss. Therefore, he enjoyed the attack. Translation, the demon, however, employed many conjuring tricks against the personality of God, who is the Lord of Yogamaya. At the sight of this, people
filled with alarm and thought that the dissolution of the universe was near. Purport. The fighting enjoyment of the Supreme Lord of his devotee, who had been converted into a demon, appeared severe enough to bring about the dissolution of the universe. This is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the wavering of his little finger appears to be a great and very dangerous movement in the eyes of the inhabitants of the universe. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones came in volleys from every corner as if thrown by machine guns. Well, let's see the word for machine guns. Kshepanai Prahita. Any Sanskrit scholar, Wallace? Scholar Wallace? Wallace scholar. Translation. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being overcast with masses of clouds, which were accompanied by lightning and thunder. The sky rained pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bones. Which part of that didn't you understand? O sinless Vidura, mountains discharged weapons of various kinds. Wow, that's a... don't see that happening too often. And naked demonesses armed with tridents appeared with their hair hanging loose. Woo! Cruel and savage slogans were uttered by hosts of ruffian rakshas and rakshasas who all either marched on foot or rode on horses, elephants, or chariots. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifice, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. Purport. Even famous yogis and demons can sometimes enact very magical feats by their mystical power. But in the presence of Sudarshan Chakra, when it is let loose by the Lord, all such magical jugglery is dispersed. The instance of the quarrel between Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish is a practical example in this matter. Durvasa wanted to display many magical wonders, but Sudarshan Chakra appeared, and Durvasa himself was afraid and fled to various planets for his personal protection. Personal protection. The Lord is described here as Tripat, which means he is the enjoyer of three kinds of sacrifice. In the Gita, the Lord confirms he is the beneficiary of the enjoyer of all sacrifice, penance, and austerity. The Lord is the enjoyer of three kinds of yajna, as further described in Gita there, sacrifice of good, sacrifice of meditation, and sacrifice of philosophical speculation. Dravya yajna. Can you give me some Gita verses? Fourth chapter, right? Right. Also, I think in 18th chapter, there might be something like that. What's that one? Anyway. Yeah. 18 and also 13 or something? No, not that one. But definitely 18, right? Those on the path of Gyan, Yoga, and Karma all have to come in the end to the personality of Godhead because Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Supreme Lord, is the ultimate enjoyer of everything. That is the perfection of all sacrifice. Translation. At that very moment, a shudder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the words of her husband Kashyapa, and blood flowed from her breast. Whew. Wow, every time we read this, remember how really heavy-duty these chapters on these slokas. Purport. At Hiranyaksha's last moment, his mother Diti remembered what her husband had said. Although her sons would be demons, they would have the advantage of being killed by the personality of Godhead himself. She remembered this incident by the grace of the Lord, and her breast flowed blood instead of milk. In many instances we find that when a mother is moved by affection for a son, sons, milk flows from her breast. In the case of the demon's mother, blood could not transform into milk, but it flowed down her breast as it was. Blood transformed into milk, transforms into milk. To drink milk is auspicious, but to drink blood is inauspicious, although they are one and the same thing. This form is applicable to the case of the cow's milk also. This is the argument Prabhupada would always bring about killing cow. You already take the milk, you're getting the essence, but you are such a demon rascal that you want to kill the cow. We heard about that yesterday.
Translation. When Houdini saw his magic forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the personality of Godhead, Keshava. And full of rage, he tried to embrace him with his arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. Purport. In this verse, the Lord is addressed as Keshava, Keshava Drita, Sukarira. He killed the demon Keshi in the beginning of creation. Keshava is also a name of Krishna. Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. That is confirmed in Brahma Samhita. That Govinda, the personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, exists simultaneously in his different incarnation expansions. The demon's attempt to measure the Supreme Personality of Godhead is significant. Niyate, Ananiyate, this is a definition of Maya, to measure, actually. What's the whole thing? Huh? He said this. Niyate Anaya, what is it? Niyate Anaya Iti Maya. This means Ananiyate Maya. It's the definition of Maya, that we want to measure everything by our own tiny calculation. Frog in the well. So, the demon wanted to embrace him with his arms, thinking that with his limited arms he could capture the Absolute by material power. He did not know that God is the greatest of the great and the smallest of the small. Ano Aniyang, Mahato Mahiyang. No one can capture the Supreme Lord or bring him under his control. But the demonic person always attempts to measure the length and breadth of the Supreme Lord by his inconceivable. By his inconceivable potency, the Lord can become the universal form as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Dhyavapati Bhuri Dhammantaram Hi. There's so many verses. He spread from in between the planets everywhere. Unlimited. Vetasi Vejam Chaparam Chadama. All to be known. Everything you know is the universal form. Virat. Give us a Virata Rupa Sloka. Anyway. Unmeasurable, right? Apramayam. So they're trying to measure, but it's apramayam. By his inconceivable potency, the Lord can become universal form, explained in the Gita. Same time, he can remain within the box of his devotees. The worshipable deity. So many times the Brahmins would carry it. Even nowadays, devotees, they carry the deity in a box. Small box, and carry it with them everywhere. Every morning they worship the Lord in the box. The Supreme Lord Keshava, or the personality of Godhead Krishna, is not bound by any measurement of our calculation. He can remain with his devotee in any suitable form, yet he is unapproachable by any amount of demoniac activities. Translation. The demon now began to strike the Lord with his hard fists, but Lord of Hoxha just slapped him in the foot, in the root of the ear, as Indra, Lord of the Maruts, hit the demon Vritta. So he's called Ahoksaja here, because that means he's beyond our material senses. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Namavid Gayam Indra. Ahoksaja me manasavadiyate. So many verses describing. At Hoksaja. Literally, that particular name of Krishna means Ado Kaja. From A to Z, he's beyond any calculation of our mind, our senses. What?
I knew the
voting,
he was beyond.
I can imagine. The Lord has explained here. Aksaja means measurement of our senses, and Adhoksaja means that which is beyond the measurement of our senses. Translation, though struck indifferently, it says here, avagyaya, indifferently means, indifferently. Wow. You know, like sometimes you're swatting a fly or some bug around your head, you know, you're talking to someone, or someone else is just going like that, you're kind of like just keeping them away. It's not really disturbing. It's a little disturbing, but not. You're kind of like this. Can imagine. Indifferently struck,
by the Lord, the conqueror of all, the demon's body began to wheel, his eyeballs, well, this is interesting because you have to see it, it's so amazing, because before they were fighting like anything, but this time he's just going, boom. This time he's finished, practically. His eyeballs bulged out of their sockets. His arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered, and he fell down dead, like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. Purport. It does not take even a moment for the Lord to kill any powerful demon, including Aranyaksha. The Lord could have killed them long before, but he allowed the demon to display the full extent of his magical feats. One may know that by magical feats, by scientific advancement of knowledge, or by material power, one cannot become the equal of the Supreme Personality of God. His one signal is sufficient to destroy all our attempts. His inconceivable powers displayed here is so strong that the demon, despite all his demoniac maneuvers, was killed by the Lord when the Lord desired, simply by one slap. Translation. Aja, Brahma, and others, that's the name of Brahma, unborn, and others arrived on the spot to see the fearfully tusked demon lying on the ground biting his lip. The glow of his face was not yet faded, and Brahma admiringly said, "Oh, who could meet such a blessed death?" Purport. Although the demon was dead, his bodily luster was unfaded. This is very peculiar because when a man or animal is dead, the body immediately becomes pale, the luster gradually fades, and decomposition takes place. But here, although Aranyaksha lay dead, his bodily luster was unfaded because the Lord, the Supreme Spirit, was touching his body. One's bodily luster remains fresh only as long as the spirit soul is present. Although the demon's soul had departed his body, the Supreme Spirit touched the body, therefore his bodily luster did not fade. The individual soul is different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he quits his body is certainly very fortunate. Therefore, personalities like Brahma and other demigods eulogize the death of the demon. Translation. Brahma continued, "He was struck by a forefoot of the Lord, whom yogis seeking freedom from their unreal material bodies and meditate upon in seclusion and mystic trance. While gazing on his countenance, this crest jewel of Diti's sons has cast off his mortal coil." Purport. The process of yoga is very clearly described in this verse of the Bhagavatam. It is said here that the ultimate end of the yogis and mystics who perform meditation is to get rid of the material body. Therefore, they meditate in secluded places to attain yogic trance. Yoga has to be performed in a secluded place, not in public or in a demonstration on stage, as nowadays practiced by many so-called yogis. Real yoga aims at ridding oneself of the material body. Yoga practice is not intended to keep the body fit and young. Such advertisements of so-called yoga are not approved by any standard method. Particularly mentioned in this verse is the word young, or unto whom, indicating that meditation should be targeted on the personality of Godhead. Even if one concentrates his mind on the bull form of the Lord, that is also yoga. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, one who concentrates his mind constantly in meditation upon the personality of Godhead in one of his many varieties of forms is a first-class yogi, and he can very easily attain trance simply by meditating upon the form of the Lord. If one is able to continue such meditation on the Lord's form at the time of one's death, one is liberated from this mortal body and is transferred to the kingdom of God. This opportunity was given by the demon to the demon by the Lord. Therefore, Brahma and other demigods were astonished. In other words, the perfection of yoga practice can be attained by a demon also if he is simply kicked by the Lord. Then it says, though these two personal assistants of the Supreme Lord, having been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. After a few such births, they will return to their own positions. A few, it says a few. Katipaye.
I think they're still coming.
Okay. What?
I think maybe they're still coming.
Yeah. All right, so send me your comments, and people are still here. You say five?
Eight
kentos
of Rupasi, there might be two Varavadas.
Oh.
Krishna should say five.
Five?
This Varavada, when Brahmaji is beginning,
He came in Sambhu on a stand. But the fighting took place, Prabhupada putting the logic in the Bhagavad Gita, but fighting took place in Brajavrata. So then he writes, maybe the white Varaha and the black Varaha, then the red Varaha. Then one lecture he says he's coming, and in one lecture he says he came. They all are right, because there's a five Varaha which is not to be.
The stories are merged. You say the stories are merged by Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami says the stories are merged.
Yes.
So we're not against merging entirely.
No. But one nice thing, so the Prabhupada's parable on the 10th, the more we are absorbed in this ascharya or bhuta lila of Rāvara, astonishing, then it is possible can change your elishman as a goal of life. Because Prabhupada put a logic, I think three past time he gave, in the beginning of this canto, that when Krishna uplifted the root of the Arjuna trees, then the story comes and the Baba comes, and he was very surprised. First he was afraid, but in front of his son he was fearless, acting. He said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of you. Who has done this?" And then Balaram whispered from Mother Yashodaji, and he says, "Oh, cool, this is." So then he untied and put him on his lap. That time,
Baladev said that Mother Yashoda
yes,
did it.
Yes.
oh, tied him up.
Yeah. Then Nanda asked, what happened? How this tree fell? So all the children, thousands of children, they told the truth, but nobody accepted.
There were thousands of children there?
Yeah. They were clapping. They were like, for Krishna today, that he got stuck in between, they're trying to climb off the rope from the, what do you call, mortar. But because it got stuck in between the two trees, so it fell off. So they are telling Nanda Baba that actually this is what happened, that Krishna did that. But they are laughing, they think it's like a joke. So there Prabhupada made a very nice comment. Prabhupada says that unless somebody understands this Varadev, they cannot understand that for Varadev how big he was, or is and Shashini Kalanka Kalevo Nimagna. This whole earth is like a little ball on the tusk of the Varadev.
What is
so
the word?
How big is Varadev? The whole earth.
What is the word for ball?
It's like a little ball. Shashini like a moon.
Shashini.
It's like a little ball on a in between the tusk of a. So how big is Varadev? Bigger than this earth. Who is pulling the little... Yeah, there you go. This is fine. So when somebody understands this, then he can relish the Jamal Arjuna uprooted by Krishna's story. Otherwise, they don't believe in Vrindavan like this.
Okay, so that's the end. Haribol.